Emirates Cup today, NBA Cup. Shaq wants the banner. Everybody wants the banner. But Klay is back. And look, we're going to talk about his memories, his moments. But Anthony Slater wrote an article yesterday, and I wouldn't mind diving into Shasky, about what happened over the last couple years and the meeting that, you know, Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson had over breakfast in Manhattan Beach. You know, you think about his career. He turned 29 before, 4 months before tearing his ACL. Then he was 30. Ended the rehab process. He tears his Achilles. So basically he had all this time of rehab, and he lost his 29th year, 30th year, comes back 31. And it sucks. He missed 941 days of basketball. And he's trying to rediscover his game and rediscover, you know, what he was during those NBA finals as one of the best two-way players in the NBA. It just wasn't going to happen with the way his legs, the pounding his legs took and all the rehab and everything. He lost some sizzle. There's no doubt. But the breakfast here, you know, as the Warriors trying to make a last-ditch effort and talk to him, Steve Kerr drove up from San Diego. And obviously, Klay had a lot of bitterness growing from not finishing and starting and getting them front of the blame about everything like that. And there's no doubt he was sulking. The body language wasn't great. But, you know, Steve Kerr, he drove up to Manhattan Beach. Basically said, hey, look, man, there's going to be some differences here. Your role's going to fluctuate. You could be coming off the bench. You may start. You may get 25 minutes. You may get 18. And Klay just basically said, you know what? Yeah, I think I'm going to go to Dallas. And Steve Kerr understood it. I understood it. You understand it. Everybody should understand it. That, oh, you have that? Oh, he talked about it yesterday with Lillard and Dibs? All right, here it is, Spinotti.
I wanted to make sure that he knew how I felt and how all the coaches felt before he made a decision. This was right around July 1st, whenever, you know, free agency started. And because, you know, the last couple of years were really emotional for Klay. And you know, there's always contract stuff and you know, just things that get in the way of relationships at times. And, you know, the main thing I wanted him to know was just, you know, how much he meant to us and how much we wanted him back. And so it was great. It was great to connect to at least, you know, express my feelings for what we wanted. But in the end, I think it was the right decision for him. He was feeling strongly about needing a fresh start. And it's been a tough couple of years coming off the injuries. And I think he made his decision and he was at peace with it. And you know, at least I could be there with him, you know, as he made that decision and meet face to face. That was important for me and for us, I think.
That's Steve Kerr on that breakfast.
You know, I think that defiance, confidence, irrational belief in yourself are some of the key ingredients to becoming a professional athlete, right? Obviously, you have to have the physical gifts and all that, but the intangibles, the mental makeup to have that, it's unreal. And it's one thing when you're a role player and you're reduced to maybe a lesser role coming off the bench. I think the hardest thing in sports at the professional level is I'm a great player, all-time great for this franchise, and now I have to become a role player. Mm-hmm. I actually think that drop, though not as precipitous as the I'm a role player and now I'm a don't play a lot guy, is a precipitous drop. That's the hardest one to grasp. And so many athletes have said the mirror is the last to know, meaning you have so much irrational belief in yourself, which is what got you to where you are, that it's very difficult to be able to compartmentalize some of the adjustments that are necessary for you to sustain and survive in your current ecosystem. And then I look at the business aspect of it playing a role, and people say, it's just business. Nah, there's a respect level you feel you've earned, and I get it. And there's a pecking order that you think is established and a way that things need to be done because you've earned equity within a particular environment. And so when all of these things are baked into the pie, it makes for a very messy, messy situation when any one of these things starts to change. I think that's what ended up happening with the Warriors. And I don't think it's anyone's fault. I think this just happens.
No, it was time to move on.
And the interests aren't aligned.
It was time to move on. It was time. It was time after the way last year played out. And he was, you know, Klay Thompson discussed this, and Slater wrote this in the article. and, you know, some of the bitterness. But, you know, Klay Thompson said in January, you know, I had a conversation with Steve about just enjoying the last chapter of my career and how lucky I truly am to be playing this game, being a better mentor for the young guys, leading by example, having my energy right every game. He helped me realize I do have negative energy and how that affects the team in a poor manner. And that was great perspective by Klay Thompson last season. I do think he needs to give himself a little more credit because when he rehabbed with James Wiseman every single day, took James Wiseman out on the boat, hear from James Wiseman, Klay did a lot for him. Moses Moody, they still play chess together. So Klay, I think, was there for the young guys, but it's just his body language because Klay, his body language wasn't so much, man, I need to get mine, I need to rediscover my. The guy wants to win. The guy, there's certain guys in sports that used to say they want it too much. They try to do too much. I think Pods may be going through a little bit of that right now in his second season, where he just wants it so, he wants it so damn bad that maybe he's forcing it a little bit. And maybe he's a little out of sorts with his jump shot or whatnot. And I think he'll be fine. He'll find it. But you try to do too hard. You try to do too much to prove yourself and reprove yourself. And like Klay, you came back after missing 941 days. It's a miracle that you're playing basketball at this point, let alone leading the league in made threes, and let alone coming off the bench and doing what you did off the bench. So I do think the 0-for-10 playing game really skews everything because it was just a rough night for everybody, but especially Klay Thompson. But going up into that point, the last 30 games, we didn't talk much about Klay's attitude.
The 0-for-10 playing game, I'm going to be honest with you, if anyone brings that up as like really, like of all the things that you think of when you come to Klay Thompson, that is so, like, so, so far down. And I think that if you're clinging to that, that tells me you kind of just got here it comes to, like, rooting for the Warriors.
Well, it just shows you where your mind is at right now. But I look at Klay Thompson, and he had a 17-game stretch where in 13 of those games, he came off the bench. And he shot his best percentages, 41 from three and 43 from the field. And we watched it. He was moving the ball, and they played the interview where I asked Klay Thompson about coming off the bench, and he said, you know what, it's fine. It's fine. We're all good. This is good for me. So, look, man, Klay Thompson's done a lot for this uniform. He's done a lot for this organization. He's done a lot for this region. And at one point, he became one of the more lovable Warriors that we've ever seen. All the different nicknames, his China tours, it's just him being him. Like, as personable as you could be, as normal as you could be as a millionaire athlete, Klay was that.
Very few, though, get to go out on their own accord and get the storybook ending. And I think that's the in our minds, it's like a Netflix movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, but how many people get the John Elway walk off?
No, not really.
Peyton Manning got it, and Peyton Manning was literally replaced by a quarterback nobody remembers in the middle of that year. Remember that?
Brock Osweiler.
Exactly. You remember because you have a sickness,
But people remember.
But you know what most athletes end up doing? Most, I'm just saying. Like, even the great ones. Lincecum fading away for the Los Angeles Angels in a rehab start.
It was bad.
Retiring quietly and going away and sadly never getting the just due. Mm-hmm. Like the real walk-off moment. Mm-hmm. Madison Bumgarner sitting as a free agent, not doing anything. Dwight Clark being forced into retirement because his body was completely crushed and was a shell of himself. You know, like, more athletes go out that way than go out the storybook way. And I think, shame on me for thinking the Warriors will be different. And I did. I thought, like, oh, all three of these guys in an era of nonstop player movement and guys teaming up, they're going to all go out kumbaya holding hands together simultaneously. And it was never real. It was never like the money, the business, the emotions, the, you know, guys in different spots of their lives and so many different things played into it. It was just never going to happen. And like, I felt like it would happen here because this is different.
Right.
But it's not a Netflix movie.
Right. No, it's not. And look, there's a lot of things added up over the last 2 years. We talk about the contract, the 2 for $48, and there's differing stories on the authenticity of that deal. There's floating numbers all over the place. I know Klay didn't like hearing the narrative about, hey, man, they paid you 2.5 years to rehab. It's like, look, man, I got hurt playing in the NBA Finals game, playing at a high level, trying to win this organization the championship. You can't control injuries. You can't control Danny Green going up and trying to block a dunk that he wasn't going to block. You can't control him playing at 5-on-5 after being cleared, and all of a sudden, boom, your Achilles goes after cooking dudes at 5-on-5 pickup. You can't control that. It probably sucked. Rehabbing is worse than playing. Like, I talked to Willie about it. He's, dude, rehab's the worst thing ever.
It's the most lonely existence.
Lonely. It's tedious. It's the same damn thing. You can barely walk. Like, it's a nightmare.
Monte, my nephew was talking about his recovery from Tommy John at 16 years old, yeah. Okay? 16 years old. He's living in the house with his family, and he's got all his buddies and everything. He was depressed.
Depressed, man.
And he's 16. He wasn't doing it in his 30s, where that's all he knows in your 30s. Like, you've literally been doing that more than anything in your life your entire time, and simultaneously, nothing brings you more joy than to play that game.
No doubt.
And I think that's the part that's lost on some of the fans when these guys are going through it. And I've seen it firsthand on a variety of athletes. Like, we underrate how much this sport means to them.